Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And we are going to have such a great discussion today. So please join me in welcoming Amanda Walker to our program today. Welcome, Amanda. How are you?
I am so great. I'm so pumped to be with you today. We were just talking. I'm dealing with a little pollen going on and allergies. So my voice is a little deeper than normal, but it's perfect timing for your audience.
It is. We're just going to have this scratchy throat group. But we're professionals. We soldier on, right?
Of course.
So cool. Well, let me tell people just a little bit about you, and then we will jump into this. So Amanda Walker is a master certified performance coach, a speaker, and a framework building ninja. She is the creator of the Best Damn Coach program and Framework Builder Lab and host of the Best Damn Coach podcast. One of the few times where I actually swear on the program, right? So again, Amanda, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk about wherever the path takes us. When I'm on podcasts, I always just like to be open. Obviously, I love to talk about framework building and coaching, but it's always so fun meeting different podcast hosts and kind of seeing what their interests are as we record. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Well, and usually I warn my guests that sometimes they're squirrel. I'm like, So yeah, that's always fun. Well, tell us a little bit more about how it is that you got to where you are today. And why did you decide this was your passion in life?
Yeah, it was not a linear journey like most. To give context, I'll rewind back to when I was 15. Mm-hmm. I took my first job as a coach. I was coaching 5 and 6 year old basketball. And two things that I can now see is it was the first domino that led to my entire life of coaching in some capacity and showed me that, wow, like, A, I love this. B, I'm good at it. Mm-hmm. But it's also the first time I realized that my brain thought in frameworks. Okay. And so I have just this a very unique skill set that every time I see processes and opportunities or structure needing to something, I'm building it inside of my head. Mm-hmm. At this point, it was a framework to teach my 5 and 6 year old kiddos how to shoot a basketball with proper form. And so fast forward, I've coached group fitness classes. I've coached CrossFit, spin, total body, step aerobics, which I'm sometimes afraid to admit fully. I went on to become a high school teacher and coach educators. Mm-hmm. And once I had my kiddos, I realized this is not going to work out. This isn't the quality of life that I really wanted. And so I stumbled into entrepreneurship, running my own coaching business. And so now I have the opportunity to, after really building a very successful coaching practice in the health space, I transitioned to teaching coaches how to build profitable coaching practices themselves, but also how to leverage frameworks to create a standout results for their clients, just consistent results, but also to help them elevate and position themselves as authority inside of a very crowded industry.
I love it. You know, and you just answered my first question because I was going to say, why would somebody even want to be a coach?
Yeah. I mean, so many coaches come into the industry because they've been, you know, impacted by a coach themselves, or they've had a transformation. And so they kind of feel like they have this secret weapon, this secret that if they don't go give it to other people, they're withholding so much goodness, right? They're just like, I had this amazing transformation. I want other people to have it. And so I think that's primarily the people that I work with are definitely heart-centered. But I mean, the second piece to that is there is no barrier of entry, which is a part, you know, a problem in the coaching industry, but it's also a gift, right? You can literally decide, you know, go get some coaching certifications or not required, but encouraged. And, you know, you can work from wherever, set your own schedule. So I think there's a lifestyle component of coaching that is super enticing for people too.
Right. Yeah. And let's be honest, it does take a very special person to be a coach, because, you know, we've all had coaches who told us what to do, and then in many cases did it for us, which we learned nothing, right? Yes. Or we learned, ooh, let's manipulate this system a little bit better. I don't know how to do this. Can you show me? Right? But a coach walks you through that process and allows you to figure out how to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that really we're talking about two different titles. A lot of people will ask me or say, I'm a consultant, not a coach. I don't want to be a coach. Mm-hmm. And so for me, there is a delineation there. Yeah. A consultant is somebody we seek to tell us what to do. Mm-hmm. We're not really asking to be coached through our problems. And I think some people hire a consultant, not realizing that they actually need a coach. Mm-hmm. And then you have coaches who don't want, you know, who are afraid to own the coach title because they do feel it comes with greater, I don't want to use the word burden, but responsibility, I guess I would say. So for me, that's really what sets consultants apart from coaches is coaches help the client seek and find their own solutions, where a consultant's like, here's how to do it. Come back and tell me if it worked.
Right. Or we do it. You know, they're hiring us to do that specific skill. Yes. And, you know, so I am a consultant, and I know that for, you know, it actually is a challenge for me if I'm kind of in the role of coaching, because I do just want to do it, or, you know, and things like that. And so, yeah, it is. It's a very special skill to be able to, I think in some cases, recognize that they might have just come up with a better way to do it.
I mean, that's absolutely. I mean, that would be like the best gift as a coach, right? For your client to come up
and
with a solution.
And I, as a consultant, would go, no, my way is the only way.
Yes, right. Exactly. And so, I mean, that's kind of the mission, right? A great coach isn't somebody that wants to hang on to their client forever. They want to help their client curate a result. And if the results, you know, if the target moves, then they might continue to work with them. But if they're rocking it out, then the goal is to like let them spread their wings and fly. And that is the greatest success we could ask for as a coach.
Right. You know, and it's been interesting. I interview, you know, so many different people for the program at various levels, careers, industries, things like that. And one of the things that is almost always consistent is that they all say, no matter what level we are at, we need a coach. And, you know, and maybe it's more a mentor, you know, things like that, but we need that person. And of course, my analogy is always Tiger Woods has a coach. Michael Jordan had a coach. You know, you don't reach a pinnacle. You know, it's always an ongoing process. And that's where the coach helps us through that.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I invest in coaches and mentors myself, but I think it's simple. If you want something in your life and somebody's already been there and they've got it successfully, then why not ask them to show you how to get there faster with less headache, right? With more, you know, expertise. And so I believe, you know, I'll always have a coach in some capacity. I've learned how to choose my coach more maturely as I've navigated my business. And so now I'm very, very specific in that coach solving a unique problem where before I maybe was a little bit more broad in my selections. So I also think the more you invest, you also start to acquire more knowledge as to how to select the coach that's a best fit for you.
Right. You know, and it is important that they are a good fit, you know, just like with any of that, because, you know, I think back to when I was in high school and junior high, my mom thought that it was a good thing for me to play team sports. Now, I am uncoordinated. I, you know, team sport and sports in general are just not good for me. I'm just not that person. But it was important for teamwork, right? I mean, I do think of that. But I also look back and think those were, at least for me, not good coaches. You know, and I mean, part of that was, I'm sure they looked at me and went, you is a lost cause, honey. and you know, you just go sit down there at the end of the bench. But, you know, I still think that each one of them could have still brought things out of me. But because they didn't see any point in wasting their time. And now, you know, also I understand, you know, it was an after school thing, you had 2 or 3 hours and a whole bunch of other people that were there too. So it wasn't like they could say, hey, we want to spend an hour working with you. But, you know, in a lot of ways it did. And I think there's probably so many people that think that was, well, we had a bad coach, therefore I don't want to do it again.
Yeah. I have a lot to say about this topic because it's so good. But I mean, I go back to when I was a CrossFit coach, mm-hmm. we had an athlete or a coach in the gym who was the best athlete in the mm-hmm. gym. I mean, was going to nationals for CrossFit, mm-hmm. which is a big, big deal.
Oh, that's
in the CrossFit
a huge
world.
Deal. Mm-hmm.
But best athletes don't make best coaches, right? And so I translate it to our world. Just because you're a content expert doesn't mean you're a great coach. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that you can actually figure out how to take your expertise in making an Excel spreadsheet and coach somebody else to make said mm-hmm. Excel mm-hmm. spreadsheet, right? That's very different. And so sometimes we seek people because like, oh, he's an awesome athlete. Mm-hmm. He should be able to teach me. And there was a disconnect for that mm-hmm. person specifically. And so I think that the same thing happens in the coaching world today is that a lot of people are great at something, but they quickly find out that being great at something isn't enough mm-hmm. to create reproducible results. Mm-hmm. Like the truth of, for me, of success is it's amazing if you can create results for yourself. Like that's already a major win. But the right. true success of a coach is your ability to create results for another human being. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of people get stuck, mm-hmm. right? In that mm-hmm. coaching process. On the same side of that discussion is that because of this problem, it's my opinion that the coaching industry faces a little bit of heat around this, that mm-hmm. you, I'm sure, and I'm sure your listeners have run into somebody or have specific feelings around the title coach, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I know for me, there was like, oh, you're a coach? Like you can make a living doing that? Or like, right. oh, everybody, here's the other thing.
Everybody's a coach,
right? And so the unfortunate part is that the barrier of entry, like I mentioned earlier, is low. But then we have this obligation as coaches, from my perspective, to uphold that integrity mm-hmm. piece. And that's kind of why I'm so passionate about what I do is my coaches will create results with their mm-hmm. clients 100%. Right. Right. That's why I'm passionate about building mm-hmm. a framework for all of those reasons. But there's a lot of people, myself included, that mm-hmm. have hired a coach who made these grandioso promises. Mm-hmm. They got inside of a program and then were left feeling very underwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And that's because they either, you know, they were just great at sales. Mm-hmm. Or they really don't know how to create results. So now us coaches that care, mm-hmm. right, we've got to like climb up on that mountain mm-hmm. and really speak mm-hmm. to that and say like, I'm not that person. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm clearly passionate mm-hmm. about that
right.
part of it.
You know, and I think it is very much about making that connection with somebody. You know, I have a business coach now and I have worked with her for several years. Absolutely phenomenal woman. For one thing, I wouldn't still be working with her if I didn't think that she was fabulous. But I had coaches in the past that were kind of like, meh. And more than anything, I realized it was not them. It was a disconnect between the two of us. I mentioned briefly at the start that I have health issues. And so one of the things that I tell people is you have to get a doctor, if it's a long-term thing, a doctor that you trust, and trust is the big part, and for the most part, like, I mean, you know, you're going to be spending a lot of time with them, but you have to trust them. And I think and I fire doctors. I'm like, you know, you're a great doctor, but we're just not a good fit, you know, and that mm-hmm. happens. And I think that has happened with me in the past with coaches was, either, you know, we just didn't click. And I think there is that kind of symbiosis type of thing that mm-hmm. needs to go on there in order for it to be successful.
Yeah, I agree. I think a couple things around that too is, I mean, what you're speaking to is rapport, right? We mm-hmm. have to have right. established rapport with that mm-hmm. person, consciously or unconsciously. Mm-hmm. And that's why we tend to gravitate to coaches that have similarities mm-hmm. to us. You know, if we're moms, we tend to gravitate towards moms because we're watching our coach build mm-hmm. a business while raising children. That makes sense. I want to mm-hmm. do that, right? But the other part of that conversation is doing your homework mm-hmm. to, as the purchaser or the mm-hmm. investor in said coach, is to really... I encourage my people, like, are they modeling mm-hmm. what you want to become? Mm-hmm. So behind the scenes, and this is the beauty of social media right now. I mean, you can pop into somebody's Instagram stories or YouTube shorts and kind of get a sneak peek. In the old days, we had to go to the yellow pages and like hope and pray that we were going to find somebody that was a match. Now we have the opportunity to vet it out, which is more challenging, right? Because as a coach, the provider, then we need to know like people are watching us and it does take time to establish that credibility, that trust, and that authority piece. But it is crucial to having a successful coaching relationship on both ends.
Right. And you said a key word, and that was investment. And I think that is something that as we're doing this, we need to remember we are investing in our future. You know, the coach that I work with now is not inexpensive. Now, are there some that cost a lot more? Of course. You know, and, but it is one of those things where you do get what you pay for. And so, you know, if they're saying, well, you know, I had a political science professor a long time ago that used to say Tonstoffel, and we are all like Tonstoffel. And she said, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And, you know, now it's okay to do like a free program or two just to see, do you match and things like that. But if it is too good to be true, it probably is.
Yes.
You know, and of course, that's a challenge if you're just starting out in business because you're like, I know I'm good, but I'm new. And so I don't feel comfortable charging those higher end pricing. And so that's where it gets a little tricky. But yeah, when you're doing your research, look at it and go, okay, when you're comparing, is this person, you know, a lot less and why, you know, and so, but yeah, you are investing in your future.
Yeah, totally agree.
You know, and like I said, I mean, you know, it would be interesting to see the process that say Tiger Woods goes through because he has more than one coach, right? Because there's, you know, I'm not a golf person. Then of course we just had the Masters here in Georgia, but, and oh, he didn't do good.
No, he didn't.
But yeah, you have, and with any sport, obviously you, especially at a more elite level, you have a nutrition, you have, you know, coaches for certain things, you have fitness, you have weightlifting. I mean, all of those various things. And so it's okay too, as a business person, to have more than one coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Choosing the coach based on the specialty they provide is you know, for me, a place that I've gone now over time to see that because you're seeking a higher level result. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, you're like, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. Where do I start? And that person can be more general. And then as time goes by, you start to go, oh, but I really love this business model and I need somebody to support me to do that.
Right. You know, and it is, there's so many things. I mean, they could focus on industry. They could focus on new business as opposed to existing business. The list is probably endless as to what a coach could focus on. And so find what you need, you know, and don't try and, you know, just, you know, you don't think, oh, this person's great. I'm sure they can do it. Make sure.
Yeah, agreed. Totally.
So you mentioned at the start that, you know, when you started coaching basketball, you realized that there was a framework. So talk to us more about that, because I think that is so key.
Yeah. I mean, frameworks are a way to take messy information and organization and ideas that you have and put it into a structure that helps create a repeatable process, right?
So you just don't have 5 and 6 year olds running amok.
Yes, exactly. And in my case, it was that they'd never shot a basketball before. And I could be the coach, which many are, that just stand there and say, okay, put the ball here, do this, you know,
run.
Yeah. But what I realized is my brain thought in steps and each step had an outcome that I was looking for. And so we taught them how to, you know, reach into the cookie jar and dunk the milk. And so, and, you know, was born the cookie and milk method. Mm-hmm. And so I realized as I got into college and thereafter that anytime I needed to study even or I was learning something, I would take my professor's information and put it into both a framework but also a visual way for me to retain the information. And so fast forward, this is how I've run my coaching business is from the beginning when I work with a client, I created what I would call a signature coaching framework, right? It's so key for every single coach. If we've come out of a certification program and we've been given maybe a framework that practitioner has taught us, really step out being like everybody else that graduated. We call it like the sea of yellow ducks. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a yellow duck at that point.
Because mm-hmm. we're a little yellow duck.
Yeah. Nobody's different. Mm-hmm. So the way we have to differentiate ourselves is to take a step back though and go, okay, what's the problem I'm solving for my client? And mm-hmm. how did I, Amanda, uniquely do it that's mm-hmm. different than anybody else in the right. world? And so this is really what I teach my students to mm-hmm. do is to take that process that solves that problem uniquely mm-hmm. for their client and break it into a framework that they can mm-hmm. become known for that mm-hmm. builds authority. It's like their own little proprietary mm-hmm. slice of mm-hmm. the world.
Right, right. And I love it because you talk about become that purple duck.
Yeah,
stands out. And that really resonates with me because in the marketing world, we talk about the purple cows. And yes. Seth Godin started that where he was saying you have to be the purple cow. You know, and so it is. It's so important to figure out what makes you stand out. So I'm curious, what makes you the purple duck?
Yeah. I mean, because I think in frameworks, I mean, I honestly don't know. We are mm-hmm. pretty much I haven't come across, we are the only program in the world that mm-hmm. exclusively teaches coaches how to build their signature mm-hmm. framework. And one of the things that makes me a purple duck specifically is that we don't build what we call fluffy frameworks. And mm-hmm. fluffy frameworks are frameworks that people create thinking they have a framework, like mm-hmm. a cute little acronym that mm-hmm. they've like Brave or Love.
Kind of like our mission statement on the wall. We're going to be everything to everyone.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, well said, yes. And so this acronym looks cool, mm-hmm. but it's just a whole bunch of words jammed mm-hmm. underneath it to fit into what would be quote unquote mm-hmm. a framework. The thing it's missing is tangible results. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I am such a, you know, I am drilling and teaching mm-hmm. to my people the difference between intangible and tangible mm-hmm. results. Because in the coaching world, so many clients are seeking intangible things. They want to mm-hmm. feel more confident. They want to feel happier. They want to feel more successful, fulfilled. But like, what does that actually mean to them? And how do we create a process mm-hmm. to guarantee that they actually feel that way? And we can't really measure those things. Mm-hmm. We can using, you know, a sliding scale, perhaps. But that's really what sets mm-hmm. us apart. My coaches build a method that works. Mm-hmm. They can put their clients through. They can scale their business with if they're moving from one-to-one to group coaching. And so that's, you know, for me, what makes mm-hmm. me different.
Right. You know, and I love that you talk about it in this format because it's this way with everything. I mean, we have to have a business plan with goals. We have to have a marketing plan with goals. And the thing is, if we don't have the goals, even the intangible ones, how do you know when you got there? It's yes. kind of like if you jump in your car and turn your GPS on and just look at it. It's mm-hmm. pretty. Now take me somewhere. Now, I mean, I wonder what would happen if you said, you know, yeah, can you just randomly? I've never tried it, but you're not gonna just say take me to a restaurant. Now yeah. it might take you to the closest one, which would probably be what a GPS would do. But it is, you know, you might get there and go, but that's not what I want to eat.
Yeah,
you know, and so yeah, you have to have that, and it has to be measurable along the way to make sure that you didn't go, you know, completely on the wrong route.
Yeah, agreed. That's why building in those milestones, as I walk people through, mm-hmm. I use a framework to teach frameworks inside our lab.
Of course.
I like to model what I teach my clients to do, but it is looking at those milestones along the way and deciding, mm-hmm. You know, what is the foundational elements mm-hmm. of your framework? What is the most mm-hmm. necessary component mm-hmm. that we build first? If we talk mm-hmm. about identity shifting and the neurological levels mm-hmm. of identity shift, if you're familiar with that, we look at like the, you know, a pyramid structure. Mm-hmm. We're looking and asking our clients, like, what is the key thing that my client needs to have mm-hmm. so that they can have everything else that they mm-hmm. want? So it really changes the thinking. And I believe it, you know, I want to be in charge and leading the way mm-hmm. of maintaining the integrity mm-hmm. of the industry. And I really do believe mm-hmm. that having a framework is my way of mm-hmm. being able to support coaches to have integrity around the results they support, you know, and provide for their clients.
I love it. You know, and in your program, you talk about three steps to creating the framework. So walk us through that process.
Yeah. So step one is what we call reverse designing the okay. framework. Now, I mentioned I was a teacher, and mm-hmm. so I've spent years developing curriculum. Mm-hmm. And so my second year of teaching, I had amazing results in our end of the year testing. And so much so that some of my colleagues were like, are you giving them the test to study from? And I was like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But what I am doing is meticulously figuring out where they have to end. So what are the master, what do they need to master as far as objectives mm-hmm. are concerned? And so I spent lots of time mm-hmm. reverse engineering, reverse designing mm-hmm. the process of, you know, from the mini quizzes that I would provide to the daily assignments. Mm-hmm. I took a lot of time and intention to mm-hmm. make that. And that was, you know, the proof was in mm-hmm. the pudding in mm-hmm. that process. And so I apply that same methodology, that mm-hmm. same thinking to building a framework. Most people are what I would call winging it coaches. They jump into mm-hmm. a coaching container mm-hmm. and they just go session by session, but they mm-hmm. don't really have an idea of where they want to end. So then they end a 12-week or 6-month coaching container and they're like, crap, we didn't get all the results I wanted. Right.
Or the client's going, didn't get the results I wanted.
Yeah, either way, mm-hmm. Both ways. And mm-hmm. so when we reverse design, what we're doing is we're just getting rid of the potential mm-hmm. of winging it all together. Mm-hmm. We know exactly where they're going to end. Mm-hmm. We know the steps that it's going to take mm-hmm. to get there. We're able to vet out what's not important and what is important mm-hmm. and keep it inside of, you know, the coaching, the framework all along. Mm-hmm. So that's really step one is reverse designing. Mm-hmm. Step two is building signature content. Okay. So this goes back to that mm-hmm. purple duck mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. mentality is I challenge my people to not be a watered down version of mm-hmm. the people they've learned before.
Right.
So then we start to kind of move from mm-hmm. how to content to how did I, Amanda, or mm-hmm. how did I, Deb, mm-hmm. create a solution to this process? And how can I teach my clients mm-hmm. about it? So this is where I'm teaching them the deliverables to provide or the lessons to provide mm-hmm. and helping brainstorm what those mm-hmm. things are going to be once they have the client inside of the container. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, step three is what we call brand infusion. And I learned this also from teaching. I noticed when my students were taking assessments that when I collected those tests back, they mm-hmm. were scribbling the framework visuals, pyramids, mm-hmm. triple Venn diagrams, pillar diagrams mm-hmm. on the notes of their, in the margins of their tests. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. This helped me realize, as we do know, if you're familiar with neurosciences, mm-hmm. the brain remembers things in images. Mm-hmm. So we want to double down on this inside of our framework, and we want to create a visual that represents your framework. So I teach all my students how to create a visual that makes sense for their framework. Mm-hmm. But also, how do I weave this into our brand? So I mm-hmm. kind of see it like the framework becomes the backbone of your business. Mm-hmm. It's that it helps you drive the social media content. For me, it helps me drive the podcast pitches. Mm-hmm. It helps me drive my stage, you know, when I speak on stage. And mm-hmm. so what's cool about having a framework is it just brings total clarity to the entire business model. And that's something that, you know, our students just mm-hmm. don't expect. So that right. really wraps up step three.
I love it. You know, and you talk about, you know, comparing this to teaching. It's not that you're teaching to the test because, not you know, because I think that's not, you know, that, like I said, that's not what this is, but it is figuring out that what the end result is. So clearly you have to have good communication with the clients, because if they just say, oh, Amanda, I want my business to be better. Yeah. Okay. That's a good starting point, but then it's got to go much more, you know, and because, yeah, you can't, like you said, you have to know what that end goal is, you know, back to teaching. You're not going to teach multiplication if they need to know addition first, you know, and so, you know, there's all of that in there. But I think in so many cases, the tricky thing is for that client to have that clarification, because I think a lot of, or you know, from the marketing perspective, one of the things that we're told is we need BHAGs. Big, hairy, audacious goals. I don't like those. I think those are stupid because usually they're so big, they're unattainable. And, you know, it's like, okay, I want to be a gazillionaire. Okay, no. Do I want to earn 5 figures? That might be a much more doable goal. And then you build on it from there. But yeah, it's finding, excuse me, and getting those goals in place before you ever start is back to the GPS thing. Where the heck are you going? You know, and so I'm guessing that is a challenge though, because you do have people coming to you saying, Amanda, I just want to be, you know, I want to be a great speaker. I want to, but then you can drill down. Do you want to do TED Talks? Do you want to, you know, but to get them to actually focus on what it is that they want. And same with coaching, you know, as a coach, do they want to work with people in a certain industry? Do they want to work with, like you said, one-on-one? Do they want to do group? they have to have that in mind also.
Yeah. Robert Herjavec, I don't know if you are familiar with him, but he is he has an amazing story, but he is a judge on Shark Tank.
Okay.
And he has a quote that I love to talk about, and it really is pertinent for coaches. Mm-hmm. But he says, basically, find a problem, solve a problem. The business comes second.
Ah.
And in the coaching industry, it's actually the other way around. Mm-hmm. Most coaches are stepping into the industry saying, I want to be a coach. Because mm-hmm. as we said before, it impacts, mm-hmm. like, I had a transformation. I know I can do this. But they don't actually know the problem mm-hmm. that they're going to solve. And the truth is, if you're not solving a problem, you don't have a business.
Right, right. Let's say this, you need to be able to figure out that problem.
Yeah, like, holy moly, this is a really big thing mm-hmm. to accept. So this is actually where we start inside mm-hmm. our Framework Builder Lab, because many of my coaches, even if they've been coaching for years or they mm-hmm. think they're really great coaches, mm-hmm. they can't articulate to me what the problem is that they solve or the mm-hmm. promise of their mm-hmm. particular coaching.
Right.
And this is a critical mm-hmm. piece to take a step back and mm-hmm. ask yourself, do you know the problem mm-hmm. and what is the promise of my program? Mm-hmm. The amazing thing is, once we lock that in, mm-hmm. again, it's just like a domino of momentum. Right. They're mm-hmm. able to articulate what mm-hmm. they do better. Their Instagram bio is clear. They mm-hmm. can walk into a networking event now and be mm-hmm. able to, like, let it roll off their mm-hmm. tongue. And so I think, to your point, is that sometimes we put the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. We dive into the coaching without the clarity mm-hmm. of what the problem is we solve. I know in the beginning, I definitely did that without mm-hmm. getting some clarity. And then I was like, oh, pump the brakes. I got to mm-hmm. figure out, for my marketing purposes, I want to be a better marketer. Mm-hmm. How do I bring some clarity to this? So I think this is a really important piece of the puzzle mm-hmm. as well.
Right. You know, and I think you're right. In many cases, they fell into it. You know, I fell into being a consultant. I remember, you know, long ago when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do when I grow up, and I'm actually still trying to figure that out. But I was talking with someone and, you know, he knew what I did. And at that point, I was an admin assistant to in a fairly big office, and and loved it, but also knew that there was no way I was going any higher than that, because the company designed computer software. I was not a programmer, so I could be an admin assistant, and I could be an admin assistant. So what did I want to do? And one of the things he asked me was, is there a reason you don't want to do the things that you do for fun? And I realized that I did marketing for people as a volunteer. You know, I did newsletters, I did this, I did that. And so I kind of fell into doing that because it was like, oh yeah, this is fun. I like it. But from there, I had to fine tune and really figure out, okay, this is what I want to do. And of course, we have so many people who tell us, oh, you should be doing this. All I have to do is go to my LinkedIn feed and into the private messages, and I get a kick out of these. I actually engaged with one today, and I don't normally do that. More than anything, I just wanted to figure out if he was a real person. And we actually had a fairly nice conversation, but it was, upon reading your LinkedIn profile, I think you would make a great coach. Or they even go further and they say, we want to take your coaching program to the next level. And I'm like, I'm not a coach. And there is nothing in my LinkedIn profile that would lead you to believe that. So yeah. Of course, they're trolling right. out there. But there are people who say, Amanda, you'd be great at this. Some people are, some people aren't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that through we all start from ground zero. This mm-hmm. is something that we need to remind mm-hmm. ourselves, is that mm-hmm. every single one of us started with zero clients, mm-hmm. Zero knowledge, or right. maybe textbook mm-hmm. knowledge, mm-hmm. Zero everything, mm-hmm. Zero followers on social media, mm-hmm. LinkedIn or otherwise. And so it's just remembering that the people that are ahead mm-hmm. of you have also gone through those same trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. And the reason that you get better is by doing mm-hmm. and not sitting back, mm-hmm. right? Taking action begets more confidence. Mm-hmm. And so those sometimes are scary places to start mm-hmm. when you have a tendency to look around like, ah, they're doing it so much better. But mm-hmm. they started where you started. Mm-hmm. And it's a promise that mm-hmm. it's possible for you too.
Right, right. Yeah, and you mentioned certifications, and people can or might choose not to. I mean, that is one of the things. I do look at whether someone is certified, and maybe not even just that they're certified as a coach. What are the other things? Like you are a neuro-linguistic programmer. And, you know, so just kind of, and it's more, like I said, you know, permanent patient here, right? What are my doctor's skills? What are their specialties? Where did they go to school? You know, now, am I going to go, oh, well, I can't go there unless they, you know, taught or were taught at Johns Hopkins. No, you know, but sometimes it's more just, you know, to, you know, but it is important, I think, for someone when you're considering hiring a coach to kind of look at, you know, what are the certifications? What have they done? Again, it's not absolutely critical. You know, I did public relations for years and there is a certification program for that. That I never did, you know, people, you know, it was just like, ugh. And same with professional speakers. You know, it was just not anything that I had a desire to do, but for some people, they will only hire somebody that has the certifications, you know, and, but it is a good way to learn. I mean, you know, we can be self-taught, but sometimes it is good to go through certification programs.
Yeah. I mean, this is a loaded question for me a little bit. I have a slightly different opinion and for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, I think we live in a culture that has been taught that academia is the best, right? That they're like the academic scholars, researchers, they have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And I don't agree with that. I actually feel that there's great scholars and those in the academic field. And I think there's, I mean, we can look around at some of the most successful entrepreneurs who've
might not have gotten out of high school.
And so it's just not a fact that you need the academics to be successful at what you do. And at the same time, like I said, I think we as coaches have a moral obligation and an ethical obligation to train up our skill set. And whether that is we intern with someone, that was one of the ways I spent a year interning someone with someone, never got a scholarship or a certification from her, but dang, learned way more. I mean, I think about when I set foot, I always say this, I have a master's degree in teaching and coaching, I have an undergrad degree in physiology and anatomy. And when I set foot my first day in the classroom as a high school teacher, I never tapped into my books. I never looked at nothing. I was in survival mode trying to manage 35, you know, 14-year-olds at that time and how I'm possibly going to get their attention to help them actually learn something that they have no interest in learning, right? And so this is where I think that, you know, me personally, I can't even count on one hand how many times people have asked me, what are your certifications? They've probably looked at them on my website.
Most
of
the time, they don't have any clue what they mean, though. Let's be honest.
No, true. But here's what I think matters more, especially in today's age. It's social proof that you get the results that your clients, that they're seeking. And so for me, I'm just very intentional. On our podcast, we have one show a month where we're just bringing on clients that have had results. We do live coaching with one time a month where I bring on somebody that's an audience member and I coach them live so people can hear me coaching all over our social media, all over our website. We are splashing what we call informal testimonials or unsolicited testimonials. Those are the things that I think in today's age matter. If we think about Amazon, the first place you go to make a decision on if you're purchasing from Amazon is the reviews.
Right away.
Right. And so this is
and we don't know any of those people and it doesn't matter.
No, we just want to know, did this work for them and can it work for me? And so that's where I feel that certifications are powerful. I encourage my people to begin the process and figure out what certification they need and to truly vet the certification out because not all certifications are created equal. Like, you know, I went through a life coaching, one of my certifications is through what I think to be the best life coaching school out there. And it was an 8-month program. I had to show my coaching abilities. I had to submit them for review, which is not the same as the Saturday class at the, you know, local library that teaches life coaches and they never have to practice, right? And I'm not saying both don't have their place, but we do have to do our homework to know who do we want to be and how do we want to show up as a coach in our, inside of our learning.
Right. Yeah. And of course, we all know examples of the people who have their PhDs and, you know, all of those things who don't have a clue, right? You know, and so to me, it's more kind of that combination of, you know, the book learning, but just the experience. You know, there's nothing that is going to teach you any better than experience. You know, when you're teaching 5 and 6-year-olds how to play basketball, you have to watch them play basketball.
Yes. Yes, of course.
And, you know, and then you go, okay, well, try this, try that. You know, because yeah, then the hands-on definitely comes in. And you could have read 15, 20 books on how to coach 5-year-olds to play basketball. That would have helped, but it was not going to do anything like actually having those little 5 and 6-year-olds running around, giggling, paying no attention to you.
Yeah, totally. I mean, one of the beliefs that holds many coaches back from taking action, I mean, just, mm-hmm. you know, a really important statistic is that like most coaches will not get to 6 figures. Mm-hmm. And I share that statistic with sadness a little bit, mm-hmm. but one of the reasons is they have a belief that they have to coach more clients to feel confident, or they have to keep mm-hmm. charging for free to mm-hmm. get better. And the reality is it's not true, right? Mm-hmm. Part of this is just stepping into it and understanding that I always say my first hour of my first year of teaching, my students got mm-hmm. the worst version of me. Because by the end of the day, because in high school, I taught the same thing all day, right? So mm-hmm. I had 6 sessions of the same. By the time I got to the 7th hour.
Session worked pretty good.
Yeah, I was like, mm-hmm. yes. I was like, oh, I want to redo first hour. Like they got, mm-hmm. but that's right. the process.
Oh,
right?
I do not go back and listen to my earlier podcast. No,
Yeah, so it's just knowing that like this is part of the process is let it be messy and just change a life and be transparent. You know, about that too, you know, there's so many ways to do that and watch the confidence just mm-hmm. come along so right. beautifully.
Right. You know, and, you know, back to charging. I mean, we have to value ourselves before anyone else will value us. And I just had that discussion with somebody yesterday. She said, you know, I'm new to this. So I'm assuming that I need to just give everything away for free. And I said, no. You know, and even those of us that are established, you know, we think, well, you know, we could do a discount, we could do the friends and family, you know, all of those things, sales. I mean, because everybody has sales, right? The tricky part is then they always expect that.
Yes.
You know, and it's really hard to tell somebody, well, yeah, you know, you got the friends and family discount that was 20% off, but now you're at the next level and you need to pay the full price. Now, if they valued what you taught them, they will go okie dokie, right? Yeah. You know, there won't be a question. But it's a very hard conversation. I think it's a very hard conversation for women to have.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I agree with that component with women. I love to challenge my coaches when they come into my world to have one beta client. So one mm-hmm. free client. Can you just hold one client? I think there's value in walking mm-hmm. through, especially at my framework builders after mm-hmm. they've built their framework, just bring that one beta client and just say right. like, hey, this is the thing, the energy that we're exchanging mm-hmm. isn't money. It's a testimonial and mm-hmm. feedback. I'm going to pour mm-hmm. into you just like I would a paid client, but can you give me that feedback mm-hmm. to help me right. grow this process? Mm-hmm. And then I say, stop. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a dollar, right. I want you to get in the habit mm-hmm. of asking for money and also receiving it, mm-hmm. right? There's one right. thing to ask, but there's another to receive mm-hmm. actual physical money. Mm-hmm. But it's like when if you were to talk about handbags, mm-hmm. the reality is if I bought a handbag from Walmart versus a Louis Vuitton, mm-hmm. I'm going to treat the Louis Vuitton entirely different because right. of the energetic.
Oh, I'd put it in the closet and never touch
yeah,
it.
Like, right. You don't set it on the ground. You bring a hook everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't take it on vacations right. where the Walmart bag you kind of toss around. Maybe not at first because you're pumped about it.
Right.
But over time, you don't value it the
it's
same.
It's easy to replace.
Absolutely. So investing in coaching is the same way. And mm-hmm. and it's the same on the giving end. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've ever been in a position, but in the beginning, I did give discounts. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, or I felt obligated sometimes mm-hmm. to people I knew or whatever mm-hmm. is when you have a full paying client and a discounted client, mm-hmm. there is a sense of obligation that comes with right. that full paying mm-hmm. client. I don't care who you are. You can mm-hmm. dispute that.
Yeah.
I just
when they say jump, you're like, okay. And yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a fan of discounts. I'm a fan of bonuses and mm-hmm. added value. So, you know, mm-hmm. we don't give any discounts. Like we add value for people. Mm-hmm. So we put in more mm-hmm. than they thought right. they were getting or mm-hmm. want in it because we already anticipate mm-hmm. the things that they're going mm-hmm. to need in addition right. to. But that's taken mm-hmm. me time to figure mm-hmm. out and be okay with over time.
Right. Right. You know, years ago, I worked for an agency where he never told anybody what our pricing was. You know, we didn't have a published price list or anything like that. And he said, charge what the market will bear. And I found that very interesting. And I still, in some ways, kind of follow that, because he's, you know, and we were an ad agency, and we worked, we did not really specialize it, you know, so not a specific industry or anything like that. And so he would say, you know, for nonprofits, we're going to charge them less, but we are going to give them less also to kind of, you know, so they're, you know, they're getting 10 hours worth of work as opposed to 30 for the paying clients. But he also said, you know, for the paying clients, what are they expecting? You know, if they are doctors and lawyers, which are some of the premium charging people, they're going to expect to pay a lot. And if you tell them, oh, it's $10 an hour, they don't see a value in it either. You know, and so I always like, you know, that concept of pay what the market will bear. I mean, if you are working with clients who are, I don't want to say elite, but they charge more in what they do. And heck, that could be a plumber, right? when you're a plumber, you know, when you have a toilet that blows up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to pay them whatever they want. But you charge what they're expecting, because to make sure that they value it also, because it's the same thing. You know, if they're paying one person 50 an hour and another person 10, they're going to pay more attention to the one that they're paying $50 an hour to.
Yeah, I agree. And to add to that though, is especially those starting out or through the process, there's also coaches that will tell their clients what to charge.
Right.
So if I'm working with you, I'm like, no, Deb, you need to charge $5,000 for this offer instead of $3,000. Mm-hmm. But if you, Deb, don't stand behind or have full confidence in that, what I find is that so many coaches sit and never pitch their services because a coach told them they should be charged. Like, oh, you're worth so much more. Mm-hmm. But you've never gotten to the place where you, A, have worked on your self-belief enough to really back that up, or you haven't worked with enough people. There's not enough evidence of your services. Mm-hmm. Then it's okay to charge less in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Prices grow with your experience and your confidence level. It is much better to start somewhere and get in that practice. And then, I mean, I really believe there's an intuitive moment that comes where you're like, okay, I don't value this price as much as I once did. Right. And so now I'm ready to increase pricing.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and there are ways to help those who can't afford it. You know, that's where you have a blog. That's where you do a podcast. That's where, you know, you have free resources on your website. You know, things like that. And sometimes those are the people who are testing the waters, right? They want to see, do you know what you're talking about? And so impress them with that, and, you know, and then go on. But yeah, it's, you know, I had somebody one time, you know, I was presenting to be a speaker, and, you know, we were going along fine until I told them what my fee was. And it was not exorbitant. I mean, it was, you know, really pretty inexpensive. I was fairly new, you know, and all sorts of things. And they said, oh, you charge? I said, well, yes, I charge. This is what I do for a living. And they said, well, we just assumed that you loved it so much you didn't charge. And I said, I can't tell that to the people who I have a mortgage payment to, right?
Yes.
And, you know, and I think that's one of the things, you know, we can love, and we should love what we're doing, but it is okay to put a value to that.
Yes. And I want to just reiterate what you said, because I do find that coaches, especially new coaches, struggle with they're wanting to change everyone's life, and they have a heart for people not able to afford the services. And that's why you build a business model around that being why you serve. It's exactly why I host my podcast as well, is I give away so much on there so they can be a part of my community. They can learn from me. They can make leaps and bounds in progress inside of their business just by listening to the free content. But not everybody is going to come deeper into your funnel and invest in your services over time. This is why I'm a fan of also a small buy offer to lead into larger offers. There's ways to serve people at multiple levels.
Right. You know, and the trick is to get them interested to start with, because, you know, there are so many of whatever it is out there. I mean, you know, I should go into LinkedIn as we're doing this and just type in coach and just see how many, you know, because I'm guessing there's a whole heck of a lot, right?
There is.
But yeah, you know, so sometimes we do need that, as you said, social proof, the, you know, reading their blog articles, listening to things like that. And just because they don't want, need, afford your services now doesn't mean that they won't later. So that's where it's important to continue that. You know, that's why you have an ongoing podcast, ongoing blog posts, things like that.
Yeah, totally agreed.
So tell us more about, you know, what are some of the mistakes? We've talked about some of them, but what are some more of the mistakes that somebody who is saying, hey, I really want to be a coach, what are some more of the mistakes that they make?
Yeah, I mean, we've hit on some great ones. Mistake one, they don't have a framework. Mm-hmm. That's huge. Mistake number two is they get in this cycle of charging for free or mm-hmm. way discounted mm-hmm. pricing. One that we haven't hit on though is, I think a big mistake for many coaches is they're focusing solely on social media as their method for client attraction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it feels, what I like to say here is like, what is common doesn't necessarily mean it's right.
Right.
So mm-hmm. it appears sometimes for many coaches that because somebody's put, like myself, because I'm posting consistently that my mm-hmm. clients are coming mm-hmm. from social media. Mm-hmm. For me, social media is not a place where we get our consistent clients. Mm-hmm. Yet it's a place where I build trust. It's mm-hmm. a place where what we call them voyeurs, where mm-hmm. My potential clients
lose
voyeurs, right, mm-hmm. of my work. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily for me personally a method for mm-hmm. lead attraction. I use mm-hmm. many other methods and I like mm-hmm. think of it as an iceberg, right? So mm-hmm. social media kind of appears mm-hmm. above the surface, but below it, the things I'm mm-hmm. doing are my podcast consistently, mm-hmm. right? My newsletter that I'm nurturing consistently, paid ads. We use paid ads in our business, pitching on podcasts, mm-hmm. speaking on stages. All of those things are increasing my mm-hmm. visibility to extend my network of potential mm-hmm. clients. But I think some people get trapped that consistent content creation. They hope mm-hmm. that they're going to have like a post that goes viral, right.
Or and their Facebook content is free.
Yeah. I mean, but all of those still are earned media, which mm-hmm. means right. that somebody else owns them. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure in our business, mm-hmm. we have owned media, right. Our website, our podcast, mm-hmm. the things that nobody, if there's an algorithm shift, they don't mm-hmm. impact us. Right. Or if Instagram
Somebody
shuts down
your account.
Yeah, mm-hmm. no, but we're not impacted. And I think this is just a big mistake, is that perception that social media is the place to grow a coaching business. And I'm not saying that it's not. And some people that works mm-hmm. well for, those people are just not mm-hmm. me. I don't want my right. business to be based on somebody else's platform.
Well, and part of it is, yeah, I mean, you never put your eggs in somebody else's basket. The part of it is knowing who you are trying to reach. The audience you're trying to reach might not be on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Now, if you're talking business professionals, maybe LinkedIn. I mean, you know, that is probably going to be a little bit more. But yeah, if your clients are not there, then you do the ways that people get to know your personality. You know, things like that. And yes, share your stuff and all of those. But yeah, you know, and maybe it's you need to attend meetings. It's really funny. I have not been to an in-person networking event since COVID started.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, but I do it all online. And I find it's much better. And it's really interesting because, you know, when I look back and think, you know, have I lost business? No. Otherwise, I would have gone back to it, right? I miss the people. You know, and because some of them I would see every single week, and you know, and you certainly miss the Southern cooking, right? And I miss some of the programming, but do I miss 3 hours out of my day going to do that? No, you know, but maybe it's that, you know, I need to, you know, for people to think, okay, well, this didn't work, but what about say an industry specific, you know, so maybe you want to be a coach for financial planners. Okay. Then you need to attend events that are only for financial planners, things like that. And so it's just, you know, and we talk about this a lot on this program, is you absolutely have to figure out who your niche is. You mm-hmm. are not marketing to everybody. You are not going to be everybody's coach. You are going to be the coach for new business owners, medical industry. You mentioned that, you know, things like that. And then that's where you go to figure out, how in the heck am I going to reach them?
Yeah. We say in my world and in our community, go to where you are not known.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so this is not just social media. This mm-hmm. could be in person. This could mm-hmm. be virtual networking.
You got to be the purple duck.
Grassroots, right? This could be, mm-hmm. if I'm a a hormone coach, I'm going to go knock the doors of chiropractors.
Right.
That makes sense for me to collaborate with. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes that we overlook the simplicity mm-hmm. of just building relationships mm-hmm. out there that still mm-hmm. exists. And it's so powerful in your
right.
business.
Right. I love it. Well, oh my gosh, Amanda, we've only got about 5 minutes left. This has been so much fun and I've learned so much. I have learned not a coach, but needs to hire coaches. It's something that I think we need to think about, whether it's that we need to hire a coach or we want to be a coach or improve as a coach, because there is definitely that. So how do people find you and what are the services that you provide?
Yeah. Well, the best place where I'm most active is on Instagram. So you can find my handle there. AWalk My Way is my greatest social media. Send me a DM. Let me know you heard me on Deb's podcast. I'd love to chit chat with you. And then I'm going to offer just a free training to your people, because if you are interested in learning more about frameworks, mm-hmm. that is our sweet sauce. So you can head on over to amanda-walker.com/framework. And I'm teaching you how to build your framework in less than 60 minutes inside of that free training as well. And then we have two ways people can work with us. We do offer our framework builder lab, where we're teaching, step-by-step process to build out your framework, and you can come be a part of our framework builder society. And then we have our kind of signature program for coaches, where we teach them how to be better coaches and build profitable businesses inside the best damn coach. And so all of that's on our site. If you have questions, send me a message. I respond to my own DMs. So I love to chit chat with you there.
I love it. And for us old people who aren't on Instagram, you've got all that stuff on your website.
Yes, you can visit that at amanda-walker.com. All of it's there.
Perfect. I love it. Well, Amanda, this really has been so interesting. And I'd love to continue this discussion at some point, because I think it is, it's very important. But until then, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
Something I really feel passionately about is that small steps move the needle. And so early on, I had a mentor in my business say, just do something, one thing every day, Amanda, and you will be shocked at what that progress looks like. And at the time, I had a 2 and a 4-year-old. I was a full-time mom and trying to start a business. And so now I'm on the other side of that and like, okay, yeah, he was definitely right. So if you feel discouraged or like you're not far enough along, or you're not where you want to be, just commit. One step a day absolutely compounds over time and turns into more than you could have ever imagined.
Oh my gosh. So much fun. I love it. Well, I have been speaking with Amanda Walker. You can find her at amanda-walker.com. I'm Deb Creer. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.